Welcome to Breakthrough with Brig, the podcast that teaches high-achieving Black women how to use thought work to break through barriers, get out of their own way, and become their best self in the most loving and sustainable way. Y'all ready? Let's dig in. Hey guys, episode 169. Y'all ready for this one? Ooh-wee. I hope y'all are ready because this one is a doozy. We're going to call this Beyond the Pain. Oof. Co-parenting with an ex-partner who hurt you. Yes. Beyond the Pain, co-parenting with an ex-partner who helped you. Welcome back. We're going to dive deep and we're going to shine a light on the path that we tread as women, marginalized women, Black women. And we're going to tackle this subject that's close to many of our hearts, and that's called co-parenting. With the fact that the statistic says that 70% of us as Black women are single, this happens, I'm sure, quite a bit. Co-parenting with someone who has deeply hurt us in a community where a significant number of us are navigating single parenthood. This conversation isn't just necessary. It's overdue. All right, y'all. So co-parenting under any circumstances requires patience, communication, and a whole lot of compromise. But when your co-parenting partner is also someone who has caused you emotional pain, that challenge multiplies. It ain't easy. I completely get it. It's not just about schedules and upbringing choices anymore. It's about safeguarding your peace while ensuring your child's well-being. And that can be hard AF, right? Like understanding and trying to put your kid's well-being when this is the MF who hurt you and you're trying to safeguard that peace, it can be difficult. I understand how sometimes your ex can come up and the kids can talk about how much fun they had at your ex's house and how nice it is, and you're struggling and the pain of that, or they're not doing their fair share and they're the one who hurt you, can literally make you want to boil over. Let's start by acknowledging how hard this hurts, how this feels, betrayal, even anger. And amidst all of this is your desire to do right by your kid. We all know that their relationship with the co-parent is precious to them. And we know that our relationship with them, how we speak, how we talk to them, can influence that. And when our kids' well-being is at stake, sometimes we stuff down what we're feeling. We grin and bear it. And I want to say that might not be the best way. It may not be the best way because when we grin and bear it and when we stuff, we're not acknowledging our own pain. And I promise you, pain is going to escape in one way or another. And a lot of times what it escapes in is a negative manifestation within ourselves. And that's not what your child needs either. So let's begin to talk about how we can improve this situation and accept and control the controllables, because that's all we can and ever could do. So, understanding what we can and can't control. One of the first steps towards healthy co-parenting is distinguishing between what we can control and what we can't. And what we can't control is our ex's actions. I know we want to. Listen, woo. I got a divorce when my kids were 2, 4, and 5. So the majority of my kids' life, I was co-parenting with an ex. They were an ex. Now, there wasn't this big betrayal looming over us. So I can't even imagine if there was this huge betrayal on it. It was hard enough navigating that with the little undercurrents and the below the belt comments and the disregard for my time when I was the full-time caretaker and he got to be the for a good time dad. I understand how my pressure would boil when I take the kids and they have homework and I ask, can you help a sister out and get the homework done? And of course, they come back, no homework done, but they had such a good time with him and his other friend. And it's just a dismissal of like, did you do the homework? No, we were busy. And there is no kind of responsibility, whatever. And you feel like you've been dumped on. I get that. Like, I truly get how that will make you boil, right? Like, really make you boil. And I can't even imagine doing that with someone who hurt you or betrayed you too, right? But we have to understand there is no upside to trying to control things that we can't control. Like when we're trying to manipulate and make them and whatever, it does nothing but pisses us off and keeps us attached to them and what they're doing in their house. And when we're attached to what they're doing and them in their house and in their bodies and their lives, ain't nobody minding our lives, our house, our bodies, and our own happiness. So we have to remove the attachment. And the only way I know to do that is to control what we can control. I can't control what goes on over at the ex's house. I can't control whether or not they do the homework or not. I wish I could, but I can't. But what I can do is make life easier on myself by accepting what I can't control, right? Like, yep, of course, they didn't do the homework. So it may be that I make them do the homework before they go, or I set a time that they get there earlier so that I have time to do the homework, or this is just my lot in life. But fighting with it doesn't help. Like, instead of me doing the homework, I am arguing with them about doing the homework, and now I'm even more boiling. And now when I'm doing the homework with my kids, I am upset even more, and I'm messing up our connection between my kids and I because I'm bringing that energy into it. No, I know. And I'm telling you, I understand, but we can't control the ex's actions. What we can control is how we respond to it. Setting clear boundaries is one of the best things I learned to do. One of the things I did was my ex had a habit of being late. He had a habit. Like if he said he was supposed to be there at 6, he wouldn't get there to 7. Now, granted, I gave him carte blanche. Every week I asked him, when do you want the kids? I know, yes, we had a court order. He got them on Wednesday and whatever. I would just ask him, when do you want the kids? He would send me the schedule. These are the times and this is the date. It was more than what the court had ordered. Fine, no problem. They are your kids. I want you to be able to see them as much and as often as you want. That is feasible for the both of us, right? So He would give me the time and I would, because that was my free time, make plans. Most of the time, y'all, my plan was to go run. I just wanted to go run at the lake. I had a lake about 3 miles away from me that I spent so much time at. It was a 10-mile loop. And I would be like, good, I can go run, because I couldn't often run at the loop or do a long run because the kids were young and I didn't want to leave them for that long. But he would always be late, and he would be so late that by the time I got there, it was dark. So guess what I started doing? I started hiring a babysitter. I hired a babysitter. I had the babysitter come an hour before he was supposed to get there. I paid for my hour, and anything after that was on him. He was picking the kids up from the babysitter at the house. Now, I don't know if this is something that you can do, but what I'm saying is, we can't control what they do. So I'm going to stop trying to control what they're doing and stop being mad because he's late, or making him on time, or pleading, or like, can you please be here on time? I'm going to stop all of that. I got you. I'm going to understand. I can't control you, but this is my time and I'm going to take advantage of my time. So I hired a babysitter. I can't remember what it was a high schooler in the neighborhood. She would come over. I would pay her for my time, like that hour, and then it was on him for the rest of the time. If he was late, she was there with her hand out. You got to pay me, right? And guess what he started doing? He wasn't late no more because he didn't want to pay. So he knew I had the part that she was there. He didn't want to pay, so he stopped being late. So control what you can control, right? Now, if he's being late and he's the one that hurt you, I can imagine that there's a lot of other emotions going along other than the emotions I was having it. So there needs to be a space for, and we're going to talk about this later, for you to be able to deal with those emotions. We have to deal with those emotions, but we also have to set clear boundaries, rules of engagement for how to protect both your peace and your child's sense of security, right? Like, there are rules of engagement. You may want to have the difficult conversation. They don't have, but knowing they are requests, not demands. We cannot make any demands, but we can make requests. What's the difference? The request could be, if you're not serious about a partner, please don't have them around the kids until you're serious with them. Please, like, let me know whatever is going to be like comfortable for you. You can make that request, but ladies, we cannot demand that that is what happens at their household, because guess what? That's their household. I know they are your kids, but we run into so many problems when we try to control what happens at the other person's household. We don't want that person controlling what happens at our household, how we parent, and it will be different. It will look different. But here's the deal. We have to understand that our kids are going to be all right. Now, if it is a problem with whether our kids are safe, that is completely different. I think that is a matter that we take up with law enforcement or other things like that. But if it's just as simple of, this is how I would prefer my kids raised, I get it. But we can't control how they raise them at their house. I know that's hard. And I know that is really, really hard for us. I know it is. But we do ourselves more damage by trying to control the things that we really can't control. And give up that is essential. So let's talk about what's off limits. This podcast is sponsored by Brick Johnson Coaching. Hey, I have some exciting news for all of my high achieving women out there. That's right. I get the emails and DMs from you guys saying you wish you were my target market. I understand. We need great allies too. And we need allies with well-managed minds. Well, I've listened. So this offer is for you too, because it's a one-on-one offer. So if you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, you're a woman of color or not, or an ally. If you're tired of feeling like you can't do more, I'm here to help. My one-on-one six-month coaching program is designed specifically for you. Together, we will work on strategies to help you manage your stress and help you achieve your goals. Because women quitting on their dreams is just not an option. And this is what my six-month program can do for you. Instead of time management, we will uncover why you manage your time the way you are so that you can prioritize self-care, giving you more time to do the things you love. Are you struggling with imposter syndrome? Are you anxious with a chaotic mind? I get it. We target the root causes of imposter syndrome, helping you gain the confidence and self-assurance to pursue your goals and succeed in your career and your personal life. Do you struggle with communication issues, difficulty expressing yourself effectively, or asserting your needs professionally or personally? You'll learn to cultivate a positive relationship with yourself. We'll work on the why this issue is for you, why this is happening, helping you resolve the inner conflict so that you can easily take care of the external conflict with others. When it comes to communicating your needs, you don't need another communication class on how to resolve clients' issues. Once you uncover your hidden conditioning, you will have the skills to build stronger, more productive relationships with colleagues, clients, and ultimately leading to greater success and growth in your business and personal life. Listen, if you're a high-level woman ready to cultivate more meaningful and fulfilling relationships, both with yourself and others, and you take your business and professional growth seriously and you want to take it to the next level, you and your relationship with you and your brain is your greatest asset. My coaching program is perfect for you. You don't have to continue putting others first and neglecting your own needs and desires in the process. Because remember, you are your greatest asset. Let's work together to create a life that you enjoy of connection and success. If this interests you, reach out, book a breakthrough call at brickjohnson.com/breakthrough. Again, brickjohnson.com/breakthrough. Look forward to talking to you. Bad mouthing the other parent in front of the kid, calling them undercurrent names or little digs. Y'all, this isn't just about keeping the peace. It's about respecting your child's right to love and think well of their other parent. This is part of their identity. I know I don't have to say this, but I do, because when it's the person that hurt you, our tendency is to want to drag them through the mud because we want everybody to feel our pain, including our kids. And we can get trapped here for years. There are people that are still bad mouthing their kid and their kid's father or mother, and their kids are grown now. Making this a boundary, off limit, again, is about your kids' peace. It is about your kids' identity and understanding that they need to be able to come up with their own conclusion about their parent. And I promise you, they will. Kids understand way more than we think, and they will come up with their own narrative. And I promise you, you will feel so much better because you will get those phone calls when your kids say, "I understand now. Mom, I get it." I've gotten those phone calls. Friends have gotten those phone calls when they put it together and they see how hard you work. Because I know it's not fair. I know for a lot of us, they get to be the good time dad or the good time mom, and we are the ones doing the homework, cleaning up, all of that kind of stuff, and they just get to come in and have all of it. I promise you, your kids are paying attention, and you will get that phone call one day that says, "I don't know how you did it. Mom, thank you." And even if you never do, You get to give that to yourself because you showed up as the parent you wanted to be, irrespective of your co-parent. And there is something so grounding, so freeing about showing up as a parent in a way that you want to be, that you are proud of 15 years from now, that you sleep well because you did your job well, despite never doing the homework, despite barely taking them to practice on the times that they have the practice, despite not taking them to, like, I can't even tell you how many times I'm like, did you take them? Nope, they didn't. We went somewhere else. And I'm like, what the fuck? Right? So I get what you guys are going through. And I understand that when it's magnified by the fact that this is the mofo who hurt you too, and you shouldn't even be here because if they had done what they were supposed to, like, that narrative, we've got to clean that up, right? So what's a healthy alternative to bad mouthing them? Instead of letting frustration out through your words, we got to find a healthier outlet. Mine's was running. I promise you, anytime, like, I'm like, ooh, I knew I need to go for a run. I need to, even if it was like, my kids had to go with me because my youngest never wanted me to leave. So she would go run. I had a 3-mile route in my neighborhood. I would just go run. That was my healthy outlet. I don't know what your healthy outlet is. Maybe it's journaling. Maybe it's a friend that you can call and say, girl, this mofo, right? Maybe it's singing or coloring. Maybe it's therapy. Because I think in these situations, we can use therapy and a coach also, right? But find you a space or a process without involving your child in the adult's conflict. Please find you a space without involving the child in the adult conflict. And yes, I know you're going to give them the look, but can we just stop at the look? Can we just, like, stop at the look, queen. I know. And then when you know that negative emotion is in there, take care of your child, because that's what we do. And then is it a bath? Is it a song that calms you down? Find a routine that is a healthy alternative to just going off, right, in front of the kids, then going off on them. Find another way, please. All right. Healing through the process. Whew. This is the point that you guys have been wanting. Healing isn't a byproduct of time. Time does not heal all. Don't just let this be time and I'll get over it. No, healing is an active process. We have to actively do the work of separating what they did from them as a person and what we're making it mean about us. Usually, if we can separate that, we are on our way to healing. They did this and I'm making it mean that. And that is where you can journal. I'm making it mean they didn't love me. I'm making it mean I wasn't good enough. I'm making it mean they thought I was a chump. They didn't respect me. I'm making it mean whatever. And that's where I work with my clients on so much. It's like, really, is that what it means though? A lot of times people's actions, our significant others or our co-parents' actions are independent of our actions. But when we tie our actions to their actions and we make it mean something, that's where we come into problems. When we understand we can be good, we can be the best mom, we can have it tight, we can work out, like not a flab, not anything, and they will still make their choices independent of us. And when we realize that our actions are interpreted by them in any way they want to, and we stop trying to control it and we stop making it mean anything, but we show up in our actions because that is just who we are, and we separate it, then we're not tied to the fact that we did this and they did that and it doesn't make sense. Because mainly what we're saying in our brain is, it doesn't make sense what they did. And what I want to say is, was it supposed to make sense? Right? Like, half the shit that people do, we don't even understand ourselves. We don't even understand why we do and don't do stuff on a daily basis. Because if we did, we would be more consistent on doing the things that we want to do. So if we don't understand it, how are we going to understand what goes on in someone else's brain? We can't. So one of the things I think we can give ourselves a pass on is, it doesn't make sense because I did this and they did that and those two don't go together. It's to understand that we're not responsible for their actions. We're not responsible for what they did. It's not a reflection of how good or bad I was. Them doing whatever it was they did that hurt you is a reflection of them, how they were thinking, their relationship with themselves, not their relationship with us, right? And when we can separate that, then we're on our path, on our way, on our path to recovery. Because it's like, oh, whatever it is that we want from them, we can give it to ourselves. I want to know that I was good. Then just tell yourself you was a good mate. You were a good partner. Or if you weren't, if there were things that you would do differently, but yet it didn't warrant what they did that hurt you, understand, yes, there were things that I would have done differently. And I still get to understand me and separate that from their action. Because I promise you, whatever it was you were doing or not doing, there are other partners who would not have done whatever that partner did, right? And so separating that, but doing your active process of healing. What am I making this mean? What am I thinking? Like when they're having fun over there, what am I making it mean about me here? Am I thinking like he should suffer because I'm suffering, right? Why? Like, I want my kids to enjoy their time with their father because that helps them be healthy as an identity, right? I wanted my kids to love going to their father's house because it helps them be balanced. So if I'm like, I don't want them to have fun because I want him to suffer, right? Like, that's me. And why do I want them to suffer? It's okay that you want that. Like, you can say that, but address it. Why do I want him to suffer? Because you're suffering. What is that going to bring? Right? Like, really journal on some of these things or find you a therapist that will work with you on these things. But don't just let time be it, because healing isn't the byproduct of time. Healing is the byproduct of you actively asking yourself the hard questions. One of the things I'm really great at is asking the hard questions so we can unpack and uncover and get through this. And sometimes we need someone outside of us to ask those hard questions so that true healing can happen. There have been times I have been working with clients when there has been a story that they have told to themselves over and over again in one session. We unpacked that story and there was true release that they had been searching for I don't know how long. And there was true release with unpacking and understanding. So engage in self-care practices. If you're feeling like, I want a bad mouth, I am upset, find you a self-care practice. Mine was running. Mine was cooking. Mine was eating. Mine was blasting my music. Mine was lighting a candle. What is yours? Find it. Create it. Create it so much that it is a groove. Like, soon as you feel that angst, you know, need to go run, need to go do this. Seek therapy, counseling, or coaching. Or simply allow yourself to experience the full range of emotions. This can be priceless. We want to protect our kids and we want to not scream or badmouth our partner. And so what we do is we choke down the negative emotions. And I'm saying we can experience the full range of emotions and not badmouth. And it being able to give yourself the privilege, the opportunity to feel all of the emotions that go with it, the frustration, name them, journal on them. This is the thing that can pave a way to a healthier, co-parenting relationship. It ain't easy, I know, especially when it is someone who has hurt you. But I promise you, the rewards are so, like, they're huge. To have a kid that is identifying not only with you as the parent, but has a healthy identification with the co-parent too, independent of that betrayal, creates a sense of confidence in your kids as they grow up. You will help your kids' identity be grounded in something strong and firm when we do our work. I know it is some of the hardest work that we can do, but I'm here for it. If this is some work that you need to do, you know you need to do it. Detaching from how happy your spouse is or significant other was, or ex, how happy they are, how unhappy they are, how successful, how unsuccessful. If you are attached to it, it is a sign that this is the work that needs to be done for you to let go so that your kids' relationship with you and them and your relationship with yourself can flourish. Remember, it's not just surviving, you're setting an example of strength, of grace, of unwavering love for your child and for someone else. If you're navigating this journey, know that you're not alone. We're here and we're sitting in the mud with you. Together, we can find our way to firmer ground. If this episode resonated with you, please share it with someone who might need to hear this message, to know, to normalize that this is some fucked up shit. This is some bullshit, right? They may need to just hear this. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. Leave us a review and share. And if you want to do this work on another level, also subscribe to my newsletter, Unleash to Unlearn. You can go to my website, brigjohnson.com, and click the button that says subscribe to the newsletter. That's where I take these things deeper and share my insights, tools, and whatever else is going on through my head. Your feedback, your reviews help us grow and reach more women walking the same path. So join us next time as we explore another facet of our lives, seeking joy, justice, and the well-being in every step of our way. Did you enjoy this podcast? Well, I have a personal invitation. I want to spend time with you, coach you, talk about the issues that are affecting you. We do this in a community we call the Melanin Hour, created just for us high-achieving Black women. You can register at brickjohnson.com/coaching. And don't forget, Deeply Rooted is where we put all this shit together. We immerse ourselves and we master this. 6 months, you, me, and a bunch of women that look like you and got a little melanin in them. That's Deeply Rooted. You can register for the wait list at brickjohnson.com/group. Hope to see you there. Bye.